This is special coverage about the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm News Director Sarah Bohannon. Today, we're continuing to look into how California will start to reopen and why Sutter and Yuba counties are already moving forward with their own plans ahead of the rest of the state. We'll also check in on antibody testing in Butte County, and we'll learn why, even if you get an antibody test, you still might not know if you had COVID-19, and it does not mean you have immunity. If you have questions for us, let us know on our message line 433-9216 or go to our website, mynspr.org. For Wednesday, May 6th, 2020, this is special coverage from North State Public Radio. First, some news.
For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert. As California begins tentatively easing some stay-at-home restrictions, health officials reported that nearly 100 coronavirus patients died between Tuesday and Wednesday in California. Since the outbreak began, COVID-19 has claimed 2,412 lives in the state, according to figures released Wednesday afternoon. The spike in deaths comes as the first shopping mall in the state officially reopened Wednesday morning in Yuba City. Meanwhile, though the number of cases continues to rise statewide, the number of infections in the North State seems to have reached a plateau. According to the latest figures, public health authorities across the 11 North State counties have diagnosed 117 cases. The number of deaths remains at 8. Cases are distributed in two main regional pockets, one in the Redding area and another in the vicinity of Yuba City and Marysville. Officials in Shasta County have confirmed 31 cases. A total of 31 have also been found in Sutter County, with an additional 19 in adjoining Yuba County. Authorities are reporting 18 cases in Butte County, 5 each in Glen and Siskiyou, 4 in Plumas, 3 in Colusa, 1 in Tehama, and none in Lassen or Trinity counties. Statewide, the figures are more troubling. The California Department of Public Health reported 58,815 cases Wednesday, up nearly 5% from Tuesday and 26% more than this time last week. The number of deaths attributed to the virus rose by 95 between Tuesday and Wednesday to 2,412. The figure represents a 4% increase over Tuesday's number and a jump of nearly 28% compared to the same time a week ago. One ray of potentially good news is also emerging. Governor Gavin Newsom said Wednesday that though the number of infected is rising, the number of coronavirus patients in hospitals, or ICUs, has slightly decreased. The financial hits keep coming, however, striking a somber note. Newsom said soon-to-be-released unemployment and budget figures for California will be sobering, and that a return to normal will likely prove more lengthy and painful than most people anticipate. With some counties already relaxing restrictions, Newsom reiterated criteria to begin easing restrictions. These include an ability to conduct more testing, as well as workplace protections, such as paid sick leave for frontline workers contracting the virus. He also signed an executive order allowing workers who contract the virus while on the job to tap workers' compensation insurance. Newsom said he'd release a list of guidelines for partial reopening and safe operation of retail shops and manufacturing on Thursday. NSPR will broadcast the governor's news conference live on Thursday, scheduled to begin at noon. A second stage of reopening is expected to be announced Friday. Republicans have demanded that restrictions on religious services be included in that second stage. For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert.
This is special coverage on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. Thursday is the day when California Governor Gavin Newsom will announce the guidelines for phase two of a four-stage reopening process in the state. Counties will have the option about whether to enter the new stage or to keep current restrictions in place. Those that do want to move ahead with phase two, and those who might want to loosen restrictions further, are being asked to submit a readiness plan. It will be made public online. While the governor says most counties in the state are moving with him, some in the North State are not. That includes Modoc County, It has zero positive confirmed cases and started its reopening plan already on Friday. And Yuba and Sutter counties, which have seen 50 positive confirmed cases and 3 deaths. Here's Governor Newsom after being asked by a reporter Tuesday about his thoughts on the decision in Yuba and Sutter counties to start allowing hair salons, barbershops, dine-in restaurants, and a mall to open.
They're making a big mistake. They're putting their public at risk. They're putting our progress at risk. We've been clear about that, well aware of those examples. These are exceptions. These are real exceptions. The overwhelming majority of Californians are playing by the rules, doing the right thing. They've put us in a position where we're making these announcements this week. We have guidelines. We have criteria. They can choose to work collaboratively with their health director, their county supervisors, and the state, and allow us to publish those guidelines. But those are not phase 3 guidelines. These are getting deeper into phase 2. That's what the state will afford in the short term. And to the extent that they go further, they put those businesses at risk, not only the health of their communities at risk. And I would encourage them just to do the right thing and know that we are committed to working with them, as we have been, and their county representatives through CSAC, League of Cities, and their health directors to accommodate their local needs and their regional variances. But we have a process and protocol to do that. And so we believe in ready, aim, fire, not ready, fire, aim.
Again, that was the governor reacting to a question about Yuba and Sutter counties moving forward with reopening those 2 counties before his guidelines have been announced. To learn more about the details and reason for behind the decision of Bi-County Health Officer Dr. Fong Liu to reopen Sutter and Yuba counties, NSPR's Mark Albert spoke with Russ Brown, Yuba County's Public Information Officer.
The Yuba-Sutter Health Officer looked at all the different considerations and things like what was the risk involved? They looked at things in the risk assessment format, looking at using the Johns Hopkins framework. And Johns Hopkins really breaks things down in terms of the types of businesses. And so she really used that to allow some things to move forward, but some of them with great modifications on how they operate. So everybody has to have the facial coverings, the social distancing, but things like regular other businesses that were before considered non-essential. Dr. Liu, our health officer, really kind of set aside the whole essential, non-essential, because it really didn't make sense when just assessing risk. And so businesses were allowed to move forward, the opening of restaurants, but with the social distancing, the spacing, extra precautions put in, extra cleaning habits, things like that to make sure that we're protected. And then other things like you wouldn't expect, things like nail places, barbershops, hair salons. Those are being allowed with huge modifications. Dr. Liu looked at the science of things in terms of how COVID-19 really progresses, what it thrives in. And she noted that studies have pretty much shown that the close association is concerning, but only when it's over a long period of time. For about 20 or 30 minutes, you're fine. But once you start getting beyond that and spending more time in the same airspace, it's concerning. So she's limiting all connections on those type of businesses to 30 minutes. So that really changes a lot of what these salons are able to do and perform, but it's done with safety in mind.
So the salons, as long as the haircut or the hair treatment can last less than half an hour or less, then it's okay?
That's correct.
Is all of that in line with state recommendations in terms of submitting plans, or is Yuba and Sutter County kind of doing things on their own?
Well, I think that's a good question. You need to kind of put it in context. When Dr. Liu developed the framework for this health order, she looked at just what fit appropriately for Yuba Sutter, and not just really the number of cases that we have of COVID-19, because we knew that it's been pretty consistent. It's very low level, and plus a lot of people are recovering. And so she looks at hospital beds. How many people are in hospital beds because of this? And currently the answer is 1. In 2 counties, 1 person is in a hospital bed because of COVID-19. And it's been that way for a long, long time now. So she looked at that, and she looked at the economics of it, in that people were not buying things they need. Like they only had so much money because of their job situation, and they were choosing to buy food instead of medicines. Hospital emergency rooms, people were not coming in there like they used to because of the economic situation. So those things were a great consideration in this. And so, and essentially, when she put this plan together, it was just for the Yuba Sutter area, what worked. And then what we told the community, we were very direct about this last week when announcing the plan, and this week as it went into play on Monday the 4th, we told people that some of the elements are not meshing with what the state's requirements are. So those businesses and such that really rely on the state for their licensing and have requirements with them. They need to take a very careful look at their operation. They need to talk to their own legal counsel before they make any move to make changes to their business or opening up. We made that clear. We did not frame up the order just to fit the state. We did it according to the health reasons that fit for our community, but we also made it clear that the health or that the state still has their requirements in place.
Yuba and Sutter counties reopening is really among the first in California. Modoc County, where there are no cases, reopened earlier. And there has been quite a bit of political pressure nationally and somewhat locally to reopen. When Yuba Sutter eased restrictions on Wednesday following Modoc's lead, however, there are 50 cases remaining in the region. Several weeks ago, Dr. Fong Liu, the health officer, warned that community spread was evident. Why is it safe to ease restrictions now? What's changed?
You know, everybody's been speaking about the flattening of the curve. And several weeks ago, indeed, there was concern about community spread because it was occurring. And that's something that could still occur. And we totally recognize that. But over the last 3 weeks now, you've seen that curve bottom out. The growth has been very slow in COVID-19. We're still going to see cases come here now and then, positive. Matter of fact, we opened up a new testing center this week, which will allow up to 130 tests to be conducted every day. So we'll see more cases show up just because we'll be capturing more in terms of testing. But Dr. Liu says that's just showing what's already there. That's why you look at the hospital beds. That's why that's an important gauge for how we're doing as a community. If we see more hospital beds taking it up because of COVID-19, that's the time to become more concerned. But basically, we've had about one person, one bed taken up for quite a while now by different people over time. So we're not seeing this growth that would greatly impact our very fragile healthcare system. We're always keeping an eye on that. So it's important to look at several aspects of what is affecting the community. And it's not just COVID-19, the finances are very real. Some people wonder, are we opening up just for economic reasons or just to get business going just because we're trying to be against the state? And that wasn't at all it. Dr. Liu was in conversation with the state of California all last week leading up to this. They were fully aware and we understood what they were doing. It was important because they were protecting the entire state. But it's a vast landscape with different things happening all over the state. And so when Dr. Liu first started framing up her order, she was looking at doing it pretty much the same way it was always done with the essential and non-essential workers, but she realized that didn't make sense. It was a false dichotomy in there. So she changed it up to use the Johns Hopkins format to look at the risk and look at the economics and the fact that people were not getting the medicines they need, and that endangers people on two different edges. So she's trying to address that, but still do it safely, still recognizing COVID-19's there, and that we need to keep many safeguards in place, but still allow things to move forward.
What are the scenarios going forward? What criteria or conditions would need to be met before restrictions are eased even further in the Yuba Sutter area?
Right. And one of the greatest things that we still have here are the large gatherings will create concern for us, because that's one, as I said, large gatherings tend to be in big groups for long periods of times, and that's where COVID-19 thrives, where transmission becomes more prevalent. So moving forward, we need to look at the hospital beds that are being taken up in our area, how the virus is working in our region, and also how safeguards are kicking in. Right now, the community needs to step up a little bit in its own, taking care of itself through facial coverings. That was a second order that was put out by Dr. Liu, requiring facial coverings, not just for just walking outside and taking walks and such, but when you get into a business or when you work in a business, that's when these things should be put in place, when you can't achieve that 6 feet of separation. That's extremely important. You're going to see more of that. So we loosen up restrictions and we tighten some restrictions just to keep the balance in there. At some point, Dr. Liu hopes to open up more and more, but it's still going to be a very slow phasing in process to make sure things are safe. And she makes it clear we will not be entirely safe until that moment when we have a solution, a vaccine in place that can counter this virus completely.
Now, did the Yuba Sutter Mall actually reopen on Wednesday?
Yeah, I just saw a video of it. So they opened up at 11 o'clock today. They have,
and that's not part of the governor's phase two opening plan, though, right?
It's the first one. I understand that's first in California to reopen. I do know that they were really requiring the facial coverings. Kind of the businesses themselves have self responsibility for how they structure their businesses. You and Sutter have put together a compliance group that gave careful instructions to all businesses on how they should open, what safeguards they have in place, how they have to put signage up.
And so authorities are reasonably confident that if those requirements are followed, that the mall and, shoppers can operate safely.
Right. So, I mean, if you have, half the people in there with facial coverings, half without, what's really interesting in that is that the people without facial coverings are putting the people with facial coverings at risk. Like I say, facial coverings is just to protect other people from you. It's not there to protect you from other people. So it only works if everybody's required to follow that. And that's one reason why we're really pressing for that. Now, you're still going to see people walk in, not even paying attention to that. And we need to change that norm. And we understand it's going to take a week or two to kind of get people in the habit of carrying that facial mask around with them so they can put it on their face before they walk in.
And, if you do start seeing more cases, what would be the trigger to ratchet back or return to those stricter restrictions?
What it comes down to is, as Dr. Liu refers to it, it's the fragile situation with our healthcare resources. If those beds start filling up because of COVID patients, Dr. Liu will be watching that very carefully and will pull things back if it seems like we're not controlling things, if the hospital beds are getting taken up too quickly. She will put the restrictions back in place to keep the virus from spreading even further, because we still have areas in the two counties where we could expand healthcare systems for outside of the hospital itself, if need be, for alternate care sites. But so far, we haven't come close to needing those, and we don't want to use those. So looking at the availability of hospital beds, it's got to be there. We can't fill them up with COVID-19 patients because it can quickly overwhelm. And Dr. Liu recognized that. She'll use those hospital bed numbers as a gauge for when she will make a determination, perhaps to pull back. But so far, we're in good shape.
That was Russ Brown, Yuba County's Public Information Officer, speaking with NSPR's Mark Albert. You're listening to special coverage on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. More just ahead. This is special coverage on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. As the novel coronavirus pandemic continues, some people are turning to antibody tests to find out whether they have already been infected with the virus. But questions about the reliability of such tests have persisted. NSPR's Andre Bayek recently spoke with Butte County Public Health spokesperson Lisa Almaguer about the limitations of antibody tests and the difference between antibody tests and viral tests. Andre first asked about a new viral testing site that opened earlier this week at the Silver Dollar Fairgrounds in Chico.
As you may have heard, the governor, with the governor's direction, the state has opened 80 specimen collection sites throughout California. And I call it a specimen collection site because it is truly that. It is a specimen that is collected at the location, and then that specimen is sent to a lab for the COVID testing. And so these are specimen collection sites that are run by the state, by a company called OptumServe, and they are collecting specimens for the COVID-19 viral test. And a viral test tells a person if they are currently infected with COVID-19 versus an antibody test, and we'll get to that later. So the site is currently open. It's at the Silver Dollar Fairgrounds, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And testing is available for just about anyone. The state has criteria, and they have divided that into two tiers. So the first tier would be for asymptomatic and symptomatic healthcare workers, first responders, and for people who work in congregate living facilities, and for those who are at increased risk, for example, over 65. And then the second tier is for the general public, either symptomatic or asymptomatic, if they feel that they either have it or have been exposed and may have it. So the way this works is it's not a walk-in type situation. It is one in which that you need to pre-register online, and you select a date and a time frame for your specimen collection, and then you show up at your dedicated time. For those who don't have access to the internet, there's also a phone number to call, and all of that information is on the public health website. They do take insurance, or if you don't have insurance or are underinsured, the state will pay for the cost of the test for you.
You mentioned antibody testing earlier. What is the difference between an antibody test and a viral test?
So great question. So the viral test tells you if you have a current infection, and an antibody test may tell you if you've had a previous infection. One is the viral test is a nasal swab, and the antibody test is a blood test, and it's looking for antibodies in your blood, which are generally take 1 to 3 weeks for your body to make those antibodies.
The word may seems to be doing a little bit of work there. If somebody gets an antibody test, is the test not 100% guaranteed to show whether the person has had COVID-19 in the past?
So let's rewind. I'd like, if you don't mind, to talk about antibody tests from the public health perspective and then antibody tests from the public perspective. So an antibody test, and many people may have heard it known as a serology test, is useful for surveillance and research for public health, and can eventually tell us what percentage of our community has been exposed and can help to inform about the immune response to vaccines. For the public, and many of us have heard that people had significant illnesses a couple months ago and may be convinced that they had COVID-19 and would like confirmation of that, and that's very understandable. So when a reliable test is available, an antibody test may be able to tell you if you've had that previous infection. Right now, the current antibody tests for COVID-19 have limitations, and they may give the public a false sense of security. Some of these limitations include the current test has a lack of sensitivity to be accurate, so this leads to an increased number of false positives. The current tests are not FDA approved. They don't determine if a person is currently infected or if a person is currently contagious. And one of the most important things, I think, for the public is it doesn't determine if a person is protected from a second infection, also known as immunity. And I think a lot of people are hoping that if they were sick in the past and their test is positive, they're hopeful that they'll have immunity. But that is not determined at this time based on the test that's being used.
It sounds like this test could raise more questions than perhaps give answers for people who want to know if they've had a previous infection. What is the guidance for someone who undergoes a test and gets a result either way?
We haven't provided official guidance, but we do have some information on our website about trying to understand, you know, if you decide to go through and have one of these antibody tests now, what your negative test result may mean and what a positive test result may mean. So a negative result is not always an indication that a person has not been infected. sometimes that negative result means that a person was infected, but their body's immune system response was not strong enough to make the antibodies. Sometimes the negative response means that a person may have been infected, but the body has not had enough time for the antibodies to develop. 1 to 3 weeks is the general time frame. Sometimes it can take longer. So if someone was sick, they recovered from their illness, and then within a short amount of time went and had that antibody test, those antibodies may not show up yet. So that's for the negatives. For the positives, it may mean that the body was infected at some point, but it also, a positive test may result in inaccuracies and essentially give you a false positive. And part of this is because of the lack of sensitivity with the current testing. And when we see a higher sensitivity test that's FDA approved and one that's less likely to cross-react with other commonly circulating coronaviruses, that will be a better test.
You mentioned earlier the concept of immunity. It seems important to people to know whether they could be reinfected or not. Is there any evidence that the presence of antibodies in a person can give that person immunity?
Not at this time. As we hear over and over again, we're still learning about COVID-19, and that is one of the aspects of the infection that we're learning about, is whether or not, you know, if someone is infected once, can they become reinfected in the future?
Is there anything I didn't ask you about either viral testing or antibody testing that you'd like to expand upon?
Sure. Going back to the viral testing, the benefits of increased viral testing in our community are important to understand. So there's many benefits, but two in particular. One is the more people we test, the more people that we can identify that are currently sick, we can isolate them, and we can increase our contact tracing, which really works to stop the spread of COVID-19 in our community. And the second part is the more people that we test, the better understanding we have of how many people have truly been infected and how our community has been impacted. And with more data, that can drive more decisions in many areas moving forward. So we're extremely thankful to the state for the new testing site. Ampla Health is another healthcare provider that is conducting viral testing daily at all of their locations. For tests through Ampla Health, it does require a healthcare provider referral, whereas the state testing, you can refer yourself. You don't have to get a referral from a healthcare provider first. And of course, people can still go to their, if they have a primary care or a specific doctor that they visit, they can still inquire and ask about getting tested through their regular doctor.
That was Lisa Almaguer, spokesperson for Butte County, speaking with NSPR's Andre Bayek. If you would like to get a viral test to see if you currently have COVID-19, you can schedule an appointment at the state testing site nearest you online at lhi.care/COVID testing. Or if you do not have internet access, you can call 1-888-634-1123. Again, that's lhi.care/COVID testing or 1-888-634-1123. And that is your program. If you have any thoughts for us, leave them on our message line 433-9216 or go to our website, mynspr.org. Today's special coverage was produced by Mark Albert, Ken Duvall, Christian Solis, Andre Bayek, and Phil Wilkie. Our technical producer is Matt Fidler. Thank you for being with us. I'm Sarah Bohannon, News Director at North State Public Radio, and this is Special Coverage. Tune in each weekday evening at 6:30, or catch the rebroadcast the following morning at 8:30. Until then, stay safe, stay informed, and stay tuned.